Thanks for tuning into this week's podcast. If you'd like to know more about our ministry, you can check us out on the web at hillsideassembly.org. You're about to hear a message from our current message series, and I hope you open your heart and mind to hear a word from God today.
There's peace that outlasts darkness, hope that's in the blood. There's future grace that's mine to tomorrow in your hands. All I need you will provide, just like you always have. I'm fighting a the story ends. We know how the story ends. You're the Lord, the story ends. Fighting a battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, Jesus, I'm fighting a battle you've already won. Jesus won it all. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. Can we give God the praise for the battle, for the victory that Jesus won on the cross? Do you believe that? That Jesus won the battle? He did say, "It is finished." Amen. It was done. It was over. He had paid the price for our sins. He paid the price for our victory, for our salvation. For salvation belongs to the Lord and unto our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. From Revelation and from John, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And we just want to take time to speak Jesus over you, because there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. For at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know that there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, in the name of Jesus, declaring there is hope and there is power in his light. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn fire. Let's sing that again. Your name is power. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name. over fear and all anxiety. Through every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is light. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Power. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is light. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness, over every enemy and for my family. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness, over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. One more time, here we go. Shout it out. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness, over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name.
As we transition to the preaching of your word, Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, one, for the message to be communicated while through a man, that the message would be from you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to hear the words that you are speaking to us, that they would resonate within our spirit and mind. They would be transformative to our life. That, Lord, our perspective that we walked in with this morning would be changed supernaturally by you when we leave this place today. That God, I believe this will be a house of encouragements. And Lord, you are about to speak. Lord, we honor you. And we say, Lord, come, do what you want to do in and through us. Change our minds, change our hearts, transform us from the inside out. Lord, where sin may have a grip on someone's life this morning, I pray that you would shake it free in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, you would give us the courage to do what we need to do to walk in freedom. Lord, we give you praise, glory, and honor in this place. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, worship team. If you've got your Bible with you, will you turn to Acts chapter 18 this morning? Look, I know a lot of you worked really hard yesterday. All right? I just got to be honest. I reserved a little bit because I knew I was preaching today. All right? But don't fall asleep on me today. All right? Because this is a good word from God. He wants to change and transform your life this morning. And more than anything, he wants to encourage you. He wants to encourage you this morning. Amen? Yeah. Let's look at Acts chapter 18. I love that we don't have to be perfect, right? Amen? Yeah. I'm about to preach this word. I'm about to read from God's word, and I'm going to goof up some names in here. But that's okay, because God is good. Amen? Yeah. So let's take a look at this. We've got Paul, and he is in Corinth. Chapter 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Man, I love this guy named Paul. Verse 5. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook off his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your hands. I am innocent of it. And from now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. No one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews, as I told you, I was going to mess some of these up. The Jews of Corinth made a united attack on Paul and brought him to the place of judgment. "This man," they charged, "is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law." Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to them, "If you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter for yourselves. I will not be a judge of such things." So he drove them off. Then the crowd there turned on Sothenius, the synagogue leader, and beat him in front of the proconsul, and Gallio showed no concern whatsoever. Canceled people get canceled eventually, all right? So I love Romans 18. I absolutely love this passage because it does one thing. It humanizes Paul. It humanizes this guy named Paul. Paul, just like other people that we can read about in the Bible, seemed like superheroes in the faith. And they were heroes in the faith, don't get me wrong. But when we look at Paul specifically, I mean, he writes a majority of the New Testament. He's a key character in most of the book of Acts. And remember, just a few chapters ago, here was Paul, and he's preaching. He gets stoned and beaten and left outside the city, and the church comes and prays, and then he gets back up, and he's like, "All right, look, I'm not leaving. I'm going back into the city for my luggage. I'm going to get a good night's sleep, and then we're going to take off tomorrow." I mean, he just seems like a superhero, like, right? What I love about Acts chapter 18 is it makes me realize Paul is just like you and I. Don't get me wrong, he had a unique calling on his life for a very specific time, but so do we. And it doesn't mean you have to write the New Testament. It just means we got to care and love people. Here he is, and Paul's got struggles, and he gets discouraged, and he goes through seasons just like I do, just like you do, that are difficult and challenging. But we see Paul, and he puts on his clothes just like you and me. He doesn't have a cape, and he doesn't wear his underwear on the outside of his pants. And I just want to say there's some great heroes of faith in this room, too. And thank you for not wearing your underpants on the outside. I appreciate that this morning. It makes it easier to preach. I just want to say I appreciate you and the ministry that you're doing and the heroes that are in this room. I love this quote. You don't need a cape to be a hero. You just need to care. There are great people in this room that care. I love, Loretta, you're a hero. You're leading a team to go sing this afternoon. I know it's a great passion of yours to go sing for these people, the assisted living home. You're a hero. And I can go all around this room and talk about the different heroes that are here. Every one of you has a gift and a talent and a passion that's being developed for the Lord. Is Bonnie Warren here? Bonnie, I want to tell you something. You have no idea. No idea how God is using you. Because on Friday, I had been through the ringer. I was going through all sorts of things with all sorts of different people. I had just weight on me. When I drove by your house and stopped, saw you in the yard, honked my horn, and had a conversation. And the words you spoke was just what I needed to be encouraged and to change my attitude. Because it was just like, man, God, it's so heavy. It weighs so much on me. So thank you. You're a hero of faith. And I could go around this room. Everybody in here, you are following the Lord. And I just want to say, way to go. But every one of us has moments where, man, we're discouraged, where it gets tough. And sometimes it's the big things, but sometimes it's the small things. My wife didn't come back with me on my trip on Sunday. We're still together, by the way, okay? But she went on to visit her family. There's been some issues going on in her family, and we just felt like it was the right time for her to make a trip out there. And so she'll be on her way back today. She's actually driving to my parents' house, and then she's coming back with my mom tomorrow. My mom's staying the week with us. And so we've been surviving. I can live on my own. Riley has been great. We've been having adventures. We went in grocery shop. We've been getting all these things done in the house. And then, you know, we're doing all the stuff at church with all this craziness. And then my plumbing backed up at my house last night. And I got to get some more laundry done. So, you know, you get that point, though, where it's like, one more thing? Really? Are you crazy? Friday morning, I came in and I drove in. And I'm like, okay, all these things going on. And okay, we got it. And I'm praying and everything's good. And it's about 9 o'clock. I pull in, I stop down at the entrance because I grabbed the mail. And so I'm doing that, and I realize that the canine officer is pulling out of our top lot. And my first thought is, are you kidding me? Somebody broke into the church. I'm like, of all weeks, with everything going on, the officer comes down, we start talking, and he can tell the look on my face is one of great concern, like really one more thing I have to do this week. And he's like, hey, usually I'm here by sunrise, checking your doors and stuff. I was late this morning, but I really wanted to see your new parking lot. And so, but he goes, I can tell by the look on your face, you think something's wrong. Everything's okay. And you've been there. That way, issues going on in our family to serve Jesus, still trying to go to work, still trying to hold it all together. And it gets difficult. See, every good hero story has a moment where the hero seems to be defeated, where his confidence wavers. Every good hero story has just not the external conflict that the hero deals with, but the internal battles within themselves that they face, where they overcome doubts and fears and inadequacies. Every good hero story comes to a place where the hero realizes he could quit, he can throw in the towel, but he chooses not to. Every good hero story comes to the point where the hero realizes he can't do it by himself. So let me speak to you this morning about this. It's too soon to quit, church. It's too soon to quit. A man was shoveling snow from his driveway. Obviously, this didn't happen yesterday. I should have changed this to dirt. This story would have made a whole lot more sense. A man was shoveling snow from his driveway when two boys carrying snow shovels approached him. "Shovel your snow, mister?" one of them asked. "Only $2." Puzzled, the man replied, "Can't you see that I'm doing it myself?" "Sure," he said. This enterprising lad had a good idea. "See, that's what we ask. We ask the people who are doing this. Most of our business comes from people who are halfway through and they just want to quit." Dr. V. Raymond Edmond used to say to his students at Wheaton College, "It's always too soon to quit." And one of my favorite quotes comes from Charles Spurgeon, who, when speaking to his congregation in London, said this, "By perseverance, the snail reached the ark." Some days are just like that. Paul must have been going through a difficult time, because we look halfway through the scripture read this morning, and in verse 9, it says this, "One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, 'Do not be afraid, keep on speaking, do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one is going to attack or harm you, because I have many people in this city.'" When the Lord speaks to us in this way, when he has this word that reaches out to us, it's important. What he says to Paul is important. Don't be afraid. Keep on going. Don't quit. No one's going to harm you. I'm with you, and I've got many people in this city. These are important things for Paul to remember. Paul must have been hurting, must have been frustrated, disappointed, scared. Maybe he was one of these. Maybe he was all of these. But what we know is he needed encouragement, and the Lord came and spoke to him. I want to be able to encourage you this morning, so I want to just pull a few things out of the passage that we read this morning to encourage you this morning, because I feel like you just need to be encouraged. Like Jesus just wants to say to you, don't quit. Keep going. Breakthrough's on the horizon. He's been working in ways we cannot see, but I'm telling you, greater things are ahead for you. Number one this morning, you need a friend. Everybody needs a friend. And I realize the first portion of the scripture, Paul has these two people that he meets, and then he gets encouraged by the Lord. But isn't that just like Jesus to give you what you need before you need it? We all need a friend. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8. "There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. 'From whom am I toiling?' he asked. 'And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can." So let me tell you, that's exactly what we're there, right on time. Has anybody ever watched the movie Toy Story? Great. This is going to make perfect sense if you've seen that movie. If not, you should watch that movie sometime, because it's really good. But I think Priscilla and Aquila are like two characters from Toy Story. They're like Woody and Buzz. And I want to tell you this morning, you need a Woody and a Buzz in your life, all right? Because Woody is the kind of friend who's grounded in reality. He's got both feet firmly planted on the ground. He tells it like it is. He tells you the truth, not to hurt you, but to help you. Sometimes we need to be confronted with the facts. You are not a toy, if you're Woody to Buzz. That only makes sense if you've seen the movie. But we need that in our life. We need friends that are like Woody, that don't just speak reality to us, but then help us face it together. That's what Woody does. We need a Woody in our life. I love the fact that in the last movie, which was not as good, of Toy Story, I don't even know what number it is, but Woody finds this other friend. He befriends this person named Forky. And the whole deal with this is these are toys, right, that come to life when nobody's looking. And this girl, the owner of Woody, makes this toy out of this spork. And every time Woody turns around, the spork is trying to throw himself in the trash. Because he's like, oh, yeah, that's for him, that's his meaning in life. I'm not worth anything. I have no meaning. But this is her favorite toy, is this spork that she has made named Forky. And every time he goes to throw himself in the trash, and you know what Woody does? He keeps grabbing him out of the trash and telling him, you are a toy. You have purpose. You have plans. Stop throwing your life away. And you know what? There have been times in my life where I felt like Forky, like I'm done. I'm throwing it away. I don't see the good in doing what I'm doing. I don't see the good in myself. I'm just, because of all the things going on in my life and the weights that I'm carrying, I can't see a clear perspective. And thank goodness for Woody's in my life that would grab a hold of me and say, hey, God still loves you. God still has a purpose for you. God's not abandoned you, and neither have I. Let's walk together. Pull me out of the trash, and let's keep going, because God's got a purpose. And I want to tell you this morning, if you're like the sport character, all right, Forky, if you're feeling like, I don't have anything to give to God, I don't have anything, I want to tell you, you have everything to give to God. He gave his life for you because he saw purpose in you. He loves you. Keep on going. Don't quit. There are good things ahead for you. Amen? Amen. Well, we all need a Woody, but we need a Buzz in our life too, a Buzz Lightyear. Yeah. We need a person in our life that's a friend that helps us to dream. When you see the impossible, when you go, there's no way we can ever get through that, you need a Buzz Lightyear who sees opportunities, who comes along and goes, oh, let's climb the mountain, let's do this. Someone who doesn't let past experiences weigh down their expectations of the future. We need friends like that, that go, hey, there's better things in front of us. We can do this together. Someone who will dream with us to infinity and beyond. Come on, I worked really hard on that line. To infinity and beyond. All right. We need a Buzz in our life. The bottom line is, church, is we need each other. We need each other. We can't do this thing called life alone. Listen, I don't know how to work farm equipment or plant grass. I barely could use a shovel yesterday, all right? I am not a handyman in any form of the word, all right? Trust me, Jeff has been with me a whole lot in my life, all right? I am not a handyman, not gifted there. But man, give me a Bible and give me some people and I will preach the word down. I will call down fire from heaven because that is what I've been called to do. It is what is in me. Church, it doesn't matter what it is, but God has put something in you. You're not meant to do it all. I'm not meant to do it all. But we all do our part, and God does something awesome. It's like a puzzle. My wife was with my mother-in-law this week, and for Mother's Day, I got them a puzzle of a sheep-a-doodle, and they were putting this together. All these small little pieces, most of it's black. You know, it's I don't know if my wife loves me anymore, but anyway, they're putting it together. You can't see the whole picture with just the piece, but all the pieces together in the right place, and it's something beautiful. That's what God's building here, guys. That's what he's doing. We're a puzzle in process. Amen? Amen. We need each other. We need people in our life. Just like Paul. Paul needed practical people like Priscilla and Aquila. That, hey, we can make tents together. We can work together. Paul needed people in his life he could do ministry with, like Timothy and Silas. We need people in our life that can pour into us like Priscilla and Aquila. And we need people in our life that we can pour into like Timothy and Silas. Paul is showing us the demonstration of how to have friends and how it works. Thank goodness for friends. If you don't have a friend this morning, great. Here's my advice. Start being a friend. Because it's just not about us having friends. It's about making friends. If you don't have a friend, start being a friend. How do I be a friend? Well, let me give you some example on how to do this. I know we just stopped grow groups for the year. But when grow groups pick back up, get to know people. Come to Wednesday night Bible study. Sit next to someone that you talk to somebody. We've got an ice cream social. Build a friend. Bring a friend. I'm going to be in a dunk tank. Come watch me get my pastor wet. It's going to be great. Invite someone. Find someone that you have commonality with and invite them to do something. Go fishing, go shopping, go out to eat, go to a movie, play cards, go on a bike ride, play golf. You could add the list. I want to tell you this. Ministry is not confined to church events. Great ministry happens when you're doing fun stuff with your friends. And in fact, I would say this. I think those moments are far more powerful than what happens in church service. Because they're between you guys. It's personal. Great ministry doesn't have to happen at church or church events. It can happen anywhere. And look, worst case scenario, you connect with somebody and you're like, okay, we don't really have things in common. There's more people here at church. Pick somebody else the next week. Get to know somebody. It's okay. Point number two, and it's my last point for today. When you need encouragement, you know what you need? Not only do you need friends, you need Jesus. And I know it sounds cliche, but this is church. And it's the truth. You and I need Jesus. You want to make it through difficult times? You need Jesus. This morning, to be honest with you, there are probably hundreds of thousands of people attending church who don't know Jesus. There are hundreds of people in our own community, probably, that are going to a church this morning who have no idea really who Jesus is. They go because they've always gone, because families have gone. They go for relationships. They go for community. They go for repetition because they've always done it. I go out of obligation. But they don't know Jesus. I don't know how you make it without Jesus. I'll just be honest. I can't imagine. I'm watching people that I have done ministry with. Not far off places, not huge mega churches, people that I did ministry with, that are pastors today, that are outright living in sin and saying it's okay because people still come to church and the money comes into the church, so I'm anointed. So you know what? God doesn't care. He hasn't struck me down, so I'm just going to keep doing it. I don't even understand that. It has wrecked me this week. I've had two conversations with pastors about this. It wrecks me. How can you get up and preach it and not know him? Because there's no way you could know him and be doing the things you're doing. Do we know him? Do we know him? I know I read this passage of scripture a couple of months ago, but I want to read it one more time. It's out of Matthew chapter 7. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. I mean, this last week, that's become a whole new reality to me. I want to know him. And I want you to know him. Jesus promised to Paul, I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you because I have many people in this city. Jesus promised he wouldn't be harmed, but he never promised Paul that he wouldn't face opposition. But he assured him of the promise. I am with you, and I got people in this city. I love that phrase. I got people. Paul, I got people you don't know about, brother. As you face things, we're going to take this thing. I love the fact that Paul, when he gets dragged, judge who goes, God's got people in your life you don't even know that he's using to bless you. God is good. Our mindset a lot in the church is if we follow God, if I'm just a good Christian man, if I'm just a good Christian woman, then nothing bad should ever happen to me, that my life should be like these. We think being blessed is like roses and, and fairy tales and that there's no hardships in our life. And when you read the Bible, that's just not true. Everybody who followed Jesus gets the snot knocked out of them. Is that not the, look at the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. I mean, that's the truth. The only reason you do that is because Jesus is better than all that. The Bible teaches us that, yeah, there's hardships, but man, Jesus is good. And I think that there is this mindset that we have that we're following God and I'm here and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do and I'm listening for God and I'm following God and God sits over here and Jesus sits over here and he does what he's supposed to do and that's how it works. And can I tell you, I think that is totally the wrong way that it's supposed to be. Because when I start looking in the Bible a little bit deeper, God didn't keep Daniel from the lion's den. He met him in the den. The blessing, church, is not that we never end up in the den. The blessing is when we're in the den, Jesus is in there with us. He didn't keep Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. He joined them in the middle of the fire. Think about this for a moment. These guys were already living for God and living for Jesus because they said, look, we refuse to let these idols sit in the throne that belongs to our king. And we're willing to lay down our lives for it. They were there. They were extreme. They were there. They were living it. But can I tell you, their testimony after this must have been incredible. Because they were like, we were in the fire, but Jesus was there. How awesome is that? The Bible doesn't tell us about that part, probably because it was just so incredible. Their testimony had to be through the roof. Daniel, he was already a man of God, already doing these things, already serving, willing to give his life. But what about his testimony when he came out of that place and was like, I saw the angels clamp down on those mouths of those lions. Jesus met me in the pit. Man, he didn't keep Joseph from being a slave to Potiphar, but he was with him and gave him favor. God didn't keep Paul out of prison. Jesus met him in the prison. God didn't keep David from battling Goliath, but he met him on the battlefield. Guys, that is what Jesus wants. Tony Evans, this quote from Tony Evans, I think is so great. The proof in knowing you are where God wants you to be is that God doesn't deliver you from it, but rather joins you in it. Adrian set it up great last week. The miracles of miracles, talking about all the water in this world, and if we were taking that bucket, how long it would take us to fill Green Lake. All the stars, this God who created all of this incredible stuff that we can't even fathom, says, I'm waiting for you to invite me into the pit. Church, we pray, God, get me out of this. Ask, Lord, would you be an issue with your family? You got an issue with your wife? Jesus, I need you in it with me. And I will tell you, it doesn't matter how you got into your mess. If you got into your mess by your own doing, or you got into your mess by coincidence and circumstances that were far beyond your control, or a mix of the two, when you say, Jesus, I need you in the mess with me, Jesus will roll up his sleeves every time and jump in the pit. He proved it with what he did on the cross, church. He longs to be with us in our mess, in our struggle, in our fight. Kathy, could you come to the piano? Guys, we can be encouraged this morning because it's not about God necessarily delivering us from our trial. I don't know. I will pray that. I will pray for healing for you. I will mean it, and I long for the day to see those things happen. And I believe we have seen them happen. But far greater than that, God may not remove the mountain, but I'll tell you this, he'll change your perspective. Because when you're in the fire with Jesus, it changes everything. Like Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm sure I said one of those names wrong, Joan. I want you to have the kind of testimony that says, I've been in the fire, but when I was in the fire, Jesus was with me. We serve a God who does not long to be away from us. He longs to be with us. I don't know about you, but I long to be with him. We're going to open this altar this morning. Church, I already know, because most of you have called me and talked. I know about the burdens we got right now. But can we take just a moment to say, to just pray together, Jesus, join us in our mess, because I think it could change everything. If you're going through something this morning and you need Jesus to be in your mess, would you just come to the altar? Don't be embarrassed. This is not an embarrassing thing. This is a great thing. This is just saying, live in the word. We need friends and we need Jesus. I can't think of any friends better than the people in this room. And don't think, well, I can't go up front because people are going to know I'm messed up. We are all messed up. Let's do it with Jesus. Amen. The altar's open. If you want to come, we want to pray with you. Just come right now. Yes. Come on, let's respond. Let's come to the altar. Let's come to the altar. Lunch will wait. The crock pot will wait. This is the most important thing you can do. If you're at the altar, I want you to seek the Lord. I'm going to speak to those sitting in the crowd for just a minute. Remember what I said just a few moments ago? Do our part. We've got family up here. We've got friends up here that are hurting. Would you come and just pray for somebody? You don't do anything weird, all right? We're not giving anybody wet willies. We're not rubbing anybody's head, all right? You're just going to come put your hand in an appropriate place on a shoulder. And then would you just pray whatever you can pray? If you don't know what to pray, would you pray this? Jesus, be with them in the fire. Be with them in the pit. Be with them in their mess. That's enough. But would you come and let God use you to bless somebody else and to encourage someone else this morning? Let's just come. If you're willing to come and just pray for people, let's just spend some time seeking the Lord and praying for our brothers and sisters this morning. Thank you. Guys, this is church. This is church. This is what moves of God look like. And some people aren't comfortable with that. And that's okay. But guys, this is what we're called to. To be real in the face of God and in the face of each other. And as we get ready to leave this place today, I want you to know something. You are loved. And I don't know about you, but I feel encouraged. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have a cape and wear our underwear on the outside and be some type of superhero. We just got to have Jesus and care about each other. Care about our community. Care about our kids and grandkids. Care about our neighbors. And God is moving. And I know there's a lot of healings that we're looking to take place. And I'm going to tell you, there are testimonies coming. There are testimonies coming. This is building towards something. I can sense it in my spirit. I believe that, next week and June 1st, I think it just I just see the momentum building. There is breakthrough coming. And some breakthroughs are already happening. But I take great confidence as I leave this place today that I know I have friends. Not many pastors have friends. But I've got friends. I am blessed to be your pastor. Blessed with incredible staff. Blessed with an incredible board. And I want you to know something. You've got friends too. We've got each other. And we've got Jesus most of all. Lord, as we leave this place today, Lord, we want to give in the offering. Lord, we want to give out of a heart of generosity, out of heart. You've met us at this place. Lord, we have friends. We all need Buzz and Woody's in our life. Lord, people that ground us and people that encourage us to dream big. And we need both. And we need to be both for other people. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, when we cry out to you and say, Lord, I need you in the midst of my pain, in the midst of my mess, in the midst of my pit, you are there. You are here in this place. Lord, we know you, and you know us. That, Lord, when the day comes, when we stand before you, that, Lord, you're not going to say, apart from me, I knew you not. But Lord, I believe that you will open your arms wide and go, I've been waiting to see you. Lord, I believe the best is still yet to come for this church. I believe there's going to be awesome times this summer. I don't know how we're going to work it all together, how this concert is going to totally work, how outdoor services are going to work this summer. I don't know all those details yet. What I do know this is, Lord, you're on the move and you're going to use us. And Lord, I believe there are salvations that are going to happen this summer. I believe we're going to invest in our community this summer. I believe we're going to see God have you do things. I believe there's going to be great testimonies that are about to come forth out of this place because you are meeting with your people and you are moving in your people. Lord, we pray, God, for this next week, every day. Lord, would you give us just one person? Just one person. That, Lord, we can impact and change their life, that we can serve, that we can love on, that we can encourage this week. Every day, just give us one, and Lord, help us to see those moments. Lord, we give you praise, glory, and honor, and God's people said, amen. Church, as you leave today, I want to encourage you. A couple people have come to me about this whole thing, one day, one person challenge, right? That's what I just talked about. We're praying every day, God, give me one person that I can impact their life. I can encourage, I can bless, I can share my testimony, I can pray with, whatever it might be. Guys, I feel like people are, when they're sharing these things with me, I just had a conversation with Mike. It was like Mike was a giddy schoolboy all of a sudden. And I feel like he's like a shark, though, in the water every day. He's like, okay, where's the person, God? Where's the person? Where's the person I'm meant to bless today? And that's what I wanted to become for us. Is like, we want to get excited every morning that God's going to put somebody in my path today that I get to bless and encourage. I'm like, the blood's in the water. I just got to find him. Where is he at? God is doing great things. And it's not about me doing great things. It's not about our staff doing great things. It's about us loving people and loving God together. Amen? All right, I got to stop or I'm going to preach another message this morning. Give in the offering. Have a great day. 1:30, we're singing. If you want to come sing, Loretta would love that. Board, we've got a board meeting. Let's continue to serve God. Amen?